Remember, from Acts chapter 4, if you have your Bibles or your tablets, open up there, Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, that's the Supreme Court, right, Mario? I mean, that's right. They're like the important guys, right?
Absolutely.
You've been to court before?
Not yet. There will be a day, probably.
Ever?
Not yet. That's you're surprised by that.
I'm surprised by that. So anyway. But you know, here's Peter and John. You know, they're like right. That's the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Just like ordinary people now. Ordinary people, you, me. And if you just slide down the chapter or verse 4, verse 13 in chapter 4, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were what kind of men? Say it, ordinary. Ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And I think that's the most important thing that we'd like for all of us to remember throughout this whole series, but forever, is that God takes you and He takes me, and His Holy Spirit leads us and He guides us. He equips us, He inspires us to carry out His work in all of life, whether it's at a kids' camp, like Royal Family Kids, or Day of Hope, or in your workplace, or in your home. We're ordinary people. You're ordinary.
Yeah.
Common. Nothing.
Regular run-of-the-mill.
Regular guy right in the middle. So am I, so are you. So look to your neighbor right now and go, you're ordinary. Now, let's celebrate ordinary, shall we? Yay. We're all ordinary. Okay. But we're going to see how, again today, how God calls the ordinary, that's you and that's me, to carry out a major function in the church, in the faith community. And I believe it's one that will change us if we can just grasp it. I really do. It's a simple concept, really is. I'll share it with you in just a moment. We're going to see it as we dive further into Acts. We're kind of stuck on Acts 4 and 5. I'm just telling you that. We're trying to get through it a little more quickly. And we've been talking, we'll be in this series like till year 2020.
Absolutely.
If we don't get going. But we're going to make a little bit of progress today. But I want to share with you a function that is life-changing, that when ordinary people like you and like me, if we can just grasp it, we will see incredible, amazing things happen. And it's not because of you, it's not because of me, it's because of Jesus in us. People will be drawn to Him. That's what we talk about. How do we make the name of Jesus famous? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you a story out of the Bible in just a moment, out of Acts. But before we do, I want to tell you one of my favorite Basque stories. Now, Basque students, where are you? You're out here, you're all over the place, okay? And Basque parents. Okay, one of my favorite stories is about a Basque runner. And so I thank Larry and Ann Port for my shirt. Now, Basque is spelled wrongly. It's not spelled that way, but face Basque. Did you get that? Or is somebody think that's a really weird t-shirt to be wearing today? Okay, it has meaning. Okay, so, all right, has meaning. All right, it's a really weird t-shirt. All right, so just listen and see what happens here. Because very little has been said about that guy in the back. The guy in the back is a Basque runner. The guy in the front is a Kenyan runner. And on December 2nd, this Basque athlete, Ivan Fernandez, who is in the back, was competing in a cross-country race in Berlada. Now, we have an auditorium full of competitors, I know, and I'm a competitor, and I run, and it's not just running or riding, we're competitors. And what do competitors like to do?
Win. Right.
You're a basketball player, mm-hmm. football player.
Yes.
In Mario's football days, you know what they called them? White Lightning.
Did that have to be revealed here?
But that is true, isn't it?
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, White Lightning. Yeah. He's fast, man. Not very good at bocce ball, but he's fast. Because I'm the bocce ball champ.
You are okay. The champ. I'm
so,
about to
back to the story. Sure. Ivan there. Basque runner. So you want to win. All right. He was running second, some distance behind the Kenyan runner, Abel. who was the bronze medalist, by the way, in the 3,000-meter steeplechase at the London Olympics. So the guy in the front is a bronze medal winner. As they entered the finishing straight, he saw the Kenyan runner, Abel, in front. The certain winner of the race pull up as if he had just crossed the finish line. So get that in your mind. So he just pulled up. Ivan quickly caught up to him. Now, if you want to win that race, what are you thinking when you see the guy out in front pull up? Are you thinking, nice? Exactly. I'm going to pass this guy, and I'm going to win. Ivan Fernandez quickly caught up, but instead of exploiting Mutai's mistake to speed past and claim the victory, he stayed behind and using gestures guided the Kenyan to the line and let him cross first. That's amazing. We give our Basque a hand. Ivan's a Basque runner of 24 years, considered an athlete with his big, huge future. Let me just quote. Here's what he said. But even if they had told me that winning would have earned me a place in the Spanish team for European championships, I wouldn't have done it either. That's an incredible story of what we're talking about today. I don't know if you've ever been in that place to have someone put a hand on your shoulder, kind of push you towards the finish line, maybe, whatever the finish line looks like, but I have. Some of you, many of you, will know that this name, one of our former pastors who years ago died, Ed Parr. And Ed Parr was a big guy. He was saved in life, later in life, about 50 years old, on the side of the road when Jesus just spoke to him. And I personally experienced that from Ed in a whole different way. Ed had the hands the size of dinner plates. They were huge. Did you know Ed?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they were huge. And I remember one day, I was struggling with something. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was, but I remember what Ed did. Because Ed did what that guy did. And that big old hand landed on my shoulder, just like that. And this is what he said, it's going to be okay. I don't remember what it was, but I remember that right there. Yeah. It's going to be okay. Just an ordinary guy, because Ed would tell you that's what he was. He's just an ordinary guy. That Jesus did something amazing in his life, and Ed was that guy to me. And I'd like to talk about that. That's what we're going to talk about today. What is it that Jesus calls us to that's like putting a hand on someone's shoulder and saying, you're going to be okay? Or you're going to make it. I know you stumbled a little bit right here. Like maybe the finish line is out there somewhere, but you can do it. You can do it. So go to Acts chapter 4 because we're going to see that again here in this story coming right out of the Bible. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 36. So if you were here last week, you said, whoa, we're going backwards. We were in Acts 5 last week and now we're going backwards. You're right, we're going backwards.
Yes.
So here we are. But then we're going to jump ahead in just a moment. Get the setting here. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon all of them, upon them all. There were no needy people among them. Just imagine what that was like. Because those who owned land or houses, they would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Now, before I read verse 36, kind of get the narrative and the flow here, kind of talked about last week, that we have chapter breaks in here and verses. Those are things that help us find places, but we need to see this narrative for as it is. It just kind of flows together, and all of a sudden what Luke says, it gives us all these details about what's happening. And then he says, and for instance, there's this guy, see, or for example. So people were coming together. They were selling their property, selling their houses. There was no one in need. They were sharing. They were bringing money to the apostles, to those in need. For example, okay, verse 36. So for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island a cypress. His name was changed to reflect who he was. Just think about that for just a moment. Because what we're talking about is giving the gift or the hand of an encourager today. That function that should be alive and well and overflowing within a faith community, and let's just talk about Gateway, ought to be in all of our lives, how we encourage one another. Here was this guy named Joseph. For instance, there was Joseph. But the apostles, they go like, we're going to change your name. We're going to change your name. So it's like White Lightning.
Forever known as that, yeah.
Because he's fast. See? Joseph. We're gonna change your name. Because we see something. Mm-hmm. We're gonna call you Barnabas. Because you're the encourager. Would you just do something for me? Would you just stop and just think about this? If someone were to change your name today, what would it be? You think we should just pray and ask Jesus for forgiveness and go home? If someone were to change your name today, what would it be? You know, for some of you, it would be encourager. For some, that's what we're talking about. Name was changed. How awesome is that? I mean, Joseph, his Hebrew name used, you know, other places in the synagogue, at home, but we're calling you Barnabas. Because in you, man, we see encouragement. And his name means a lot of things.
Right. And this, even that idea to change a name in that culture, it meant they see character. Even when babies were born, it wasn't just, yeah, they just kind of found a name. But that name spoke to the character, the virtue of what they desired to see in that child. And so it was a big deal to make that shift. They saw something and decided to make that change. And that word encouragement, it's this word called paraclete, a Greek word paraclete. And what you start to look at that word a little bit more, what you come to recognize is that's the same word that defines the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, who's writing, he uses this word, encouragement, or paraclete in the Greek, over and over and over again. That paraclete, speaking of the Holy Spirit, has many different meanings. One, it means a counselor. It means somebody who's a helper, an encourager, an advocate, someone who's a comforter or an intercessor. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit does on our behalf. Jesus, when he left the earth and ascended to the right hand of the Father, says, I am going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send a paraclete, if you will, someone who will counsel, who will be there for you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm still here with you through the Spirit. And I'll continue to provide the things that you need in the moment that you need them. And Barnabas finds himself with this very same name. In the midst of a church who had just kind of got started. They're just starting to get moving forward. They're just starting to be developed. And people who would come, they come from all over, from different regions to this place. And some of them, after what they experienced as they came to this moment and their lives were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, some of them stayed. Some of the people who were there simply just didn't have a whole lot financially. And so we have these people who end up taking their life and shifting it and moving to Jerusalem to be a part of this movement that's going on. Are there jobs available? We don't know. We have people who already lived in that area who were simply poor, who did not have the finances, who did not have the means to make it day to day. And so we have this community, these people who have come together, and as they do, there's this sense of desire that as a community, we're going to take care of one another. We're going to meet each other's needs. And for instance, there was this guy named Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And the Bible lets us know in verse 37, it says, having land, he sold it and he brought the money to the apostles' feet. You see, one of the things we see about Barnabas right away is that he was willing to put his money where his mouth was. That there was a sense inside of Barnabas to say, I see a need. I see where these people are at. I recognize that there's a poor among us. I recognize that there's a need, and I'm going to meet it. I may not be able to do everything, but I have this, and this gift I choose to give as a way of encouraging the people. You know, what happens so often when we come to stories like this, when we talk about guys like Barnabas, when we talk about taking things like finances and selling, he sold everything. He sold his land and gave it to the people that were in need. You know, we can get into places that we kind of squirm and kind of get uncomfortable because here we are talking about finances. But one of the things we have to recognize is when it comes to this realm of encouragement, when it comes to being encouragement, while it has to do with finances, it has so much more to do with this question of how can I meet the needs that I see in that moment. It goes way beyond the issue of money.
Yeah, exactly. And so there are a couple things, and I just got to stand up. I'm sorry. It's like... I need a seatbelt or something to keep me in the seat. But, there are a couple things within Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that we see that we want to talk about this morning because it makes up who he is and who we can be. First of all, he's a responder. You see that, don't you? So there was a need. There was an evident need. And you just kind of described that really well. There was an evident need. And so... What does Barnabas do? He responds to that. So he sees it, and an encourager responds to the need. You know what a responder does? Responders run to, not away from. That's what we see in Barnabas. Responders run to and not away from. So just think about it for just a moment. So typically in that field of responders, we think of what? Firefighters?
Policemen.
Yeah, policemen, medical personnel.
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, yeah. Yeah, armed services, you know, all kinds of people who are living in that zone. They fit that category called responders. And for some of you, you're naturally a responder. But a responder always runs to and not away from. So let me illustrate it this way. Your house is on fire. What do? You call for the responders who are supposed to do what? Well, they come, right? Because if they don't come, you're calling it one, what's going on? So they're running to, and you're running away. You're getting away from. And so what happens is if they're not there soon enough, we're screaming, man. We're yelling, like, you got to get here, and you got to take care of this here. So responders run to, they don't run away from. That's why we hold them in such high esteem. Because they run to areas of danger, and they run to the need, not away from. And so we see that with Barnabas, right? So there was a need, and instead of like turning his back and kind of walking away, like, I don't see that, he responds to it, and he does something pretty unique. I read this the other day, and I think it's pretty good, because I think it kind of illustrates it, what we're talking about when it comes to responding to people that Jesus brings into our life, all right? Sick people don't need money. They need someone to come alongside. Now, when you talk about Paraclete and the Holy Spirit, how he comes alongside, but sick people don't. Now, I know that there's needs, all kinds of needs, but they need someone to come alongside. Lonely people don't need money. They just need a few minutes of someone to come alongside. Hurting people don't need money. They just need someone to come alongside them. Discouraged people don't need money. They just need a sentence of hope. Someone to come alongside. I know that there's all kinds of needs, but here's what people need today. I think more than ever, someone to come alongside and to be that encourager. Mark Twain says so well. He said, I can live 2 months on one good compliment. Have you found that to be true in your life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm. And I've been encouraged by so many of you. Ed Parr's in my life. You can do it. You can make it. And that's what we need. It's a function that ought to live within the life of the church. So responding to, running to, and not away from. That was part of Barnabas' life. But the other thing is really important, and he became an advocate. So I told you we were going to jump ahead, right, in Acts. So go to Acts chapter 9. There, we just made 4 chapters progress. So go to Acts chapter 9, all right, where we're going to see Barnabas as an advocate. So he was a responder, responded to the need that was evident, sold his property, brought money to the apostles. But we see him in a different light here now. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to start verse 26. 27 is on the screen, but just let me start at verse 26. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas, here we go, verse 27, brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. I love that because Saul arrives, he has a history, but then Barnabas brings him to the apostles. Now, there's a lot of things going on here, and some of your Bibles use the terminology for many days and so on, because it's about 3 years since Paul, had this experience on Damascus Road. He basically went underground to grow in the Lord. So there's about three years here, and now he's back, and even worse, like he's back to Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
And these people know what kind of person that he's been. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. Every now and then, I don't use it much, and if you use a message, that's okay. It's a great paraphrase. But the message reads verse 26 this way. Back in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't trust him one bit. Then Barnabas, the encourager, steps out and boldly took him under his wing. In the Greek language, the tense of the verbs there indicates that Paul tried time after time after time after time. He tried to kind of get in, kind of break in, time and time again, and it just wasn't happening. Why? Because they were locked into who he was before Jesus came into his life, and that's what they were thinking about. But then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord. Now, I think it's really interesting here that when Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles, he didn't say this, "Hey, I'd like you to meet Saul, the former murderer."
No.
That's pretty amazing. I'd like you to meet this guy. He's got a great testimony. He was the one who persecuted and killed people. He didn't do that at all. Here's what he did. He told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So here's Barnabas, the encourager, as an advocate, saying, "Let me tell you what Jesus has done in his life." You know, is it human nature? I don't know. What is it that sometimes just locks us into what the person, who the person was beforehand? Certainly, those that he was trying to connect with had heard of his conversion. They knew it. But there was this holding off. It was Barnabas, Luke describes, who was willing to risk accepting him, becoming his advocate, and built this bridge of trust between him, Saul, and the Jerusalem apostles. Think of it, everybody else shut the door. But Barnabas, the encourager, steps in, the advocate. The encourager or the advocate will champion the underdog, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He'll be the one that jumps on the bandwagon when everyone else is jumping off. The past was the past. That was it. But look at Saul met Jesus. And Barnabas, the advocate, the responder, and the advocate steps in and says, let me help to build this bridge of trust. Now, before we move on, because there's another story. He's an advocate again, isn't he? It was like part of his life. Think about right now who it is that you can be an advocate for. Maybe Jesus brought someone in your life. Maybe there's someone you can help to build that bridge of trust. Maybe there's someone's life that you can step into, and because everyone else is stepping out of. and Jesus is glorified. Mm-hmm. He was an advocate.
He was. And as you talked about moving forward, we move not only from chapter 9, but we get to move even on to chapter 15.
See, we're making lots of progress.
Yeah, we're going to be
halfway
here.
Through.
We're
so there we go.
Cruising. Because what we see is this guy Barnabas show up again. And it's, I find it so fascinating that here's this moment back in Jerusalem in chapter 9 where Barnabas speaks on the behalf of Saul. He champions for him. He brings him towards the Jerusalem people and say, hey, this guy, he's worth investing in. He's willing. He should be a part of what's going on. And then we find this moment later on with Barnabas and Paul, Saul, who's now Paul. We find this moment in which they're having a communication. Well, they're having a dialogue, if you will, a dispute. And what we find in chapter 15, verse 36, what we see is that it says that after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord and see how the new believers are doing. So they've been traveling around, Paul and Barnabas. They've been starting churches, and they said, let's go back. Let's see what's going on. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take this guy, John Mark, along. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Well, this agreement was so sharp that they ended up separating. Paul went one way, Barnabas went another. Barnabas took John Mark with him, and he sailed for Cyprus. You know, I find it so fascinating in this moment, Paul gets to this spot where he says, I'm not taking John Mark with me. Do you remember what he did? Last time when we were out, we were in the middle of it, and John Mark just got up and left. And yet, here's Barnabas in the midst of it all who says, but there's something about this guy. I see something in this lad that is worth continuing to invest in. I know he deserted us. I know that when we were in a hard spot, he left us. But I'm telling you, Paul, there's something about this guy. I'm telling you, Paul, you might not be able to see it, but I'm just going to trust that something is there in this guy that needs to be called out. And so Barnabas takes him along. What we find interesting is that, interestingly, time passes. Paul continues to live out his life, continues to go on missionary journeys, and towards the end of his life, Paul finds another guy that he ends up mentoring. His name is Timothy. And as Paul is in a spot where he is writing to Timothy, he says these words. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is probably towards the end of his life, and he writes these words. He says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he left this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is here with me. And clearly, being with Paul just was not a desirable place to be. And so all these people, they're out, they're leaving, they're gone. But what we find next is so interesting, but he writes these words next, but get Mark. Get John Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. You know, I wonder what would have happened if Barnabas would have agreed with Paul in that moment, way back when. What if Barnabas would have jumped on Paul's team and said, you know what, you're right. He deserted us right in the middle of everything. Let's put him to the side. He's not worth ministering to or being a part of the ministry that we're doing. Let's just put him aside. What would have happened if Barnabas would have chosen to join Paul in that decision? Well, one thing that we know would likely take place is that Mark would not be a comfort to Paul later on. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how when we find ourselves being like the Paraclete, when we find ourselves in places in which we're willing to be an encouragement, to call out in people, to willing to summon, to be a comfort to be an advocate for, it has the opportunity to bring redemption in relationships, in people's lives in ways that you'll never even know. Barnabas wasn't even around at this point. But here's Paul asking for this guy, John Mark, to be reconnected with, reunited with. Because Barnabas believed in Mark, called out of Mark who God was creating him to be, was an advocate for him, everything changed between Paul and John Mark. And one of the things I want us to consider today is, as Tom asked that question, who is it in our lives that we're quick to write off? Could it be that we might need different lenses? We might need God-type lenses to say, I see goodness within this person. And I'm willing to go to bat for them, even in the midst of things not going so well. You see, our choice to step in those moments might make an entirely, completely different outcome for that person, because we choose to step in and be an advocate in that moment.
Remember, responder, advocate. Some of us may be sitting here going, you know what, like I'm in that place, and what I'm going through now, I'm suffering now. Yeah. But listen how Jesus uses suffering in our life to comfort others. From 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, "Who comforts us, or he comforts us, he, Jesus, in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort others when they are troubled, and we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." Mm-hmm. So Jesus uses everything in our lives, including the suffering that we face and might be facing right now, to do this thing, right. This one thing, and that's to encourage one another to be a responder and to be an advocate. Let me just ask you just three questions real quick. We want to toss up this morning for us to respond. Number one, who can you build up today? Who can you be an encourager to today? Just think about, Jesus brought someone into your life. Who can you stop and be an encourager to, build up today, be a responder, be an advocate? Who is it that others look down on or away from that you can come alongside? Because I bet there's someone in your life, God's brought them in, so that his name would be glorified. Someone else has tossed them aside. Someone else is called murderer, persecutor. Someone else has tagged another name, but we can come alongside that person and bring encouragement. That leads to number three. Whose past do you need to move beyond to encourage? Whose past do we need to set aside? And go, okay, let Jesus do something amazing, and let's set that aside, and let's see God working in your life and who he is. Now we're going to pray, and just kind of as we're seated today, but what we'd like to do is just kind of let that settle for just a moment. And just think about who you are. Think about the nickname for just a moment. Just kind of in a moment of reflection, just think about who maybe God's brought into your life that you can just like put a hand on. Maybe not literally, but maybe through words or somehow, some way. Who is it that you can come alongside so that the church is built up? So that his name is lifted up, so that his kingdom is expanded. That's what we're talking about today. And so Jesus, would you just speak to each one of us today? Even now, God, we're just opening up our hearts to you. And God, I just believe that you're dropping in names today, or situations or circumstances where we can be the responder, we can be the advocate, we can be the Barnabas in someone's life. We encourage out of what you have done for us. And even if we're in that moment of suffering today, we can't quite get figured out, as you comfort us, God, we comfort others. And so let's just make that commitment right now, shall we? Who is it that we can come alongside? Or maybe we're one of those and we just kind of locked into the past. And in this moment, we're just saying, God, just forgive me. Help me to get beyond that. I want to see that person as you see them, as one of your children. And we know that as we do, your kingdom will be expanded. It will grow. It's what you've called us to do. It's what you've called us to be. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? In just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. There are so many ways for us to live this out. And what I'd like for you to do is, as we do, I like, just would you begin sharing the stories? Would you send them in? Would you email us? Would you just let us know how God is using you to be a Barnabas? And here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to nickname all of you. Okay, are you ready? Is all right. So you're no longer your name. You're now Barnabas. So when you go to work tomorrow, or you meet someone new, you're like, "Hi, I'm Barnabas." I was just thinking, I'm not sure how that works out for the ladies, but
probably
you got
not
it.
So well.
What do you think?
We can give it a whirl. See how it lands.
I'm Mrs. Barnabas. Okay, I don't know. Can we just kind of go out though, because we've been given a new name? Have we not? We've been given a new name because of what Jesus has done in us.
Yeah.
And we get to live out his life. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to that. As we go today, may we be the Barnabas, the one that comes alongside in the life of someone. Today, this week, months and years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you next week. Oh, excuse me. Just one thing. I saw David, come on. I forgot this right here. Another way to be a Barnabas, I guess. Thanks, Dave. But we